You are listening to Wisdom of One.
Recording.
Okay, so, well, you guys got your asses kicked by a doppelganger.
Yeah, fucking yes. Doppelganger.
And I was listening to that, and the sneak attack from the doppelganger is so brutal that he rolled terribly and still just wiped Skankra off the face of the earth.
You don't have to roll terribly to wipe out Skankra. Or you don't have to roll well, that is.
It's basically all he has. I mean, after that, he's just like a fighter, but he's got that one sneak attack that you're not expecting, and wow.
Or that everybody was expecting, but nobody cared.
Yeah, exactly. As like, how many times have we already pointed out that, like, wait a minute.
Something's up with Runnus. Oh, well.
Who cares? We're too busy bickering.
Okay, so when we last left you guys, you were in an unconscious pile in the middle of the village.
Oh, it's like the good old days. In the first, like, 15 episodes. That's right.
Well, Kaylee was drunk and unconscious. Runnus was unconscious due to being attacked by the doppelganger. Skankra was unconscious due to being dead. And Dagon just fell asleep so that he would feel like part of the group, I believe.
I think that's about right, yeah.
He's a real team player, that one.
And so these creatures were kind of taking care of you, covering you with cloths and surrounding you with light and checking on you and...
Wait, I forgot. Dagon, how do the creatures talk?
Something along those lines.
Okay, good. I didn't remember.
Glad I could help.
So... The two creatures with spears were standing guard, if you will, just looking around and standing there looking bored while you guys snored away.
Right.
So, Dagon, you fade off to pleasant sugar plum dreams of breaking things and talking about ducks.
Yeah.
And you slowly come back to consciousness to the sound of triplicate snoring. So, Runnus is and Skankra is doing and Kaylee's doing, let's see if I can do a Kaylee snore.
Nice. That's impressive. Although, you know, Skankra does not snore. He's far too elegant to snore.
Mm.
He was just dead.
Well, he'll never admit to snoring, but he's snoring at the moment. The teetering on the edge of existence has taken down all of his barriers.
That's where he spends his entire life, is teetering.
I know, you think I'd get used to it.
That's
right. I've grown comfortable.
Dagon, you are awoken by a slight sound. You are at the base of a very large mushroom that is bioluminescent. I'm slowly learning that word.
Yeah.
And it's glowing a purple glow that's filling your area that you're in. But you hear some skittering and rustling, and you look to see that there are two large spiders building a web along the base of this mushroom. And you recognize them as the, what we've been referring to as the dinner plate size spiders.
Delicious dinner plate spiders.
Okay, so these are the ones that were like doing web maintenance and stuff.
Yes.
They're not like...
Yeah, they weren't the attack spiders, which were much larger, and the mother queen spider, which was much, much larger.
Or the one who was always groaning in a way that made us all feel uncomfortable.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, excellent.
Ew. How did you guys put up with that? That's creepy.
Yeah, right?
So they're making a web and cooperating back and forth and hanging up pieces of thread and all that stuff. But they're making enough noise that it woke you up. The two creatures with spears are not really noticing or reacting. They either don't notice or they don't care. And you have a moment where everyone else is unconscious, dead, or asleep. So I'm giving you a moment to do something without interference.
Yeah,
He already stole my shit back.
Your shit? Excuse me?
Look,
who caused the trash flanch? I paid for that by watching you get stuck in the trash flanch.
And I earned it by stealing it from you.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't punished you enough yet.
You don't even know I did it yet.
Yes, I did. I found it.
It could have been there by accident.
Yeah, sure.
Kaylee probably put it in my bag.
Oh, that's definitely what happened.
Are there any, like...
Wait, that's... I can just be Scott. Are there any, like, smaller bioluminescent iridescent mushrooms that I could use to meme a spider and ask questions and shit.
Oh, great. Let's spend another hour and a half while you try to do a mushroom puppet show nobody gets.
Yeah.
They don't understand. They're not going to talk to us.
I do understand.
Kill them or move on.
You're fucking asleep. Shut up.
There definitely are small mushrooms of every color around the base of this larger mushroom. Mm. As you're picking up whichever color you want, they have literally every color, so you have your pick. Two of these creatures come walking up holding hands. One is smaller, appears to be a child size, and the other seems to be an adult size. Mm. They are carrying a basket of green mushroom pieces, similar to what you ate up in the hut. Mm. And they lay it down, they start flashing lights at each other. Go ahead and roll a wisdom save, Dagan.
Okay, 15.
You feel a vibrating coming from your bag, and you hear the faint sounds of crystal. Mm. The shing, shing, shing of the crystal.
Yeah, okay. So I pull out the crystal and then I show it to them. Look at my pretty crystal.
They cock their heads and there's more flashy, flashy, flash. And then all of a sudden, this voice comes out of the crystal.
Oh, thank God.
That says,
Mother, why do you think the Tolos are not eating the Kura?
Holy shit. This crystal is sentient and now is talking to me? Oh my God!
He thinks the crystal is sentient!
Because Dagan says everything aloud, yeah. As you do so, the crystal starts flashing bright colors of all different colors and shapes. And the young one turns to the mother and flashes some more lights at her, and the crystal says,
Mother, what does sentient mean?
Spock, why are you talking to your communicator? I believe it is sentient, sir.
My radio has told me to beam up.
Yes.
Captain, how did you fit in this tiny little box?
I never really watched Star Trek.
Oh, man, I can't wait to go, hoist a few with Rosetta Stone. I bet she's hot.
It's Sharon's younger sister.
Nice.
Well, hi, my name is Dagan. How are you talking to me, Crystal?
The crystal sparkles and flutters and sends lights everywhere. The mother turns to the young one and says,
This Tolos is clearly simple-minded. We must help.
And she picks up one of the dried green mushroom flakes and hands it out to you and starts trying to insert it into your mouth.
Wait a minute. I'm talking to this crystal. What are you doing?
No, so Dagan will okay. And then starts eating this and saying,
thank you, flashy lady.
Okay, flicker, flicker, flicker. And you are now healed.
Yay!
I could use a lot of that.
So, since I apparently can now talk to you, what are the spiders doing here? Can you see them, or what's going on here?
Mother, the simple one is asking us if we can see. Yes, simple Tolo, we can see. Can you see?
Yes, I can see. But also, what's with the spiders?
The bigger one points at the spiders and says,
Yes, those are named spiders.
I'm actually average intelligence, normal. I can understand things.
Oh, so a dwarf is like a lower animal. If this is average for a dwarf, I'd hate to see below average.
Daughter, creatures often need to lie to themselves in order to feel better about their chances of surviving the day.
And they wander off. You hear a groan from behind you, and you can hear,
Oh my God, something crawled in my head and took away all of my thoughts and replaced them with fire.
Try this mushroom stuff. I can talk to these people now, by the way. kind of crazy.
Sure.
She eats the mushroom, throws up, then eats some more, and then is actually recovering quite well.
Oh, super. That's pretty good. Thank you.
Hey, can I be alive?
Runnus does the same.
Oh, God. I thought I was free there for a second, but I got pulled back into life.
Yeah, what happened to you?
I was following you, and someone hit me on the back of the head.
Does anybody want to know what happens to Skankra? Hello?
Nobody cares.
So, let me ask you, Runnus, do you think it was Skanky? He was kind of shady, stealing my shit.
We've conversated with 15 NPCs, an inanimate object, and nobody's talking to me.
No, it wasn't him. I was watching Skankra. He was in front of me when I got hit.
We thought you were acting really funny, but I don't know. Thought maybe the pretty lights got you in a good mood or something.
Good mood? What's that?
Yeah, I guess I should have figured that one out.
Hello, racist dwarf! Racist dwarf!
Okay, Skankra, you are slowly clawing your way out of unconsciousness and can kind of roll to your side now.
Oh, God, finally. Let's go take out some racist dwarves. Because I remember the story.
Yeah, I wonder where he did go.
Yeah, do you think we should spend another 8 hours trying to communicate with the creatures who don't speak English, and then when they finally do, let's not understand?
Right as you're pondering that, you recognize the creature walking up is the same one that was initially attempting to communicate with you when you first met.
Yeah.
There's more flashing, and your crystal says,
I was informed that the Tolos are now able to speak words. Thanks to El Goog Slate Tran.
El Goog.
Oh. Yes, it is a very Davenport upside down.
Is that what my crystal is called?
I guess that depends on whether Skankra tells you.
So yeah. Hi, my name's Dig, and what's your name?
The name of me is Sane Sada. It is very nice to finally speak with outsiders.
Flicker, flicker, flicker.
How long have you been down here? Forever, I guess, but... how long is forever?
I'm gonna sing a little song. Nobody cares. We're just passing through. Nobody cares about these people.
But Skanky, you know, clearly this fucking racist dwarf here is like trying to steal the metal that these people worship. So these people's homes are in danger of this racist dwarf.
And won't they be happy when we kill the dwarf as opposed to let him wander off for 6 months?
They probably know this area way better than anyone else, so they could probably help us.
The creature who cannot use ladders makes a pretty light, but his meaning is not good.
Yeah, I know. He's kind of like that. I usually like to, you know, make him unconscious. It makes life easier.
The creature you call racist dwarf is the one we call Sehosto.
What does that mean?
5 miles ago, a group of Barbasuda appeared and killed many of the tribe using weapons of Monero. Then they built a machina near the village. They kill any of the Osavistados who walk too close to them. They have killed many of my brothers and sisters.
Okay, well, he's clearly had a head injury. Let's go kill that machine.
We're trying to stop them, actually. Could you maybe show us to where the hell they are?
Yes. You are here to destroy the Sehosto.
Fuck. Which one's the Sehosto?
The racist dwarf?
Just say yes and see what happens.
We want to kill the racist dwarf. Is that what you call Sehosto?
Sehosto is our name for the old Barbasuda with no face. He has a white symbol on his head.
Yes, yes, yes. We want to kill him. We want to make him die.
This is good. We will assist you to do this thing. The Osavistados are a peaceful tribe, no violence. However, we have a separate warrior class who will help you. I will follow to keep you smart.
Good luck. I don't think there's a crystal for that one.
Well, that's fantastic news. Thank you.
She waves her hand at you, telling you to wait there, and goes running up the ladder up until the house, whatever, the hut.
Box where pretty flashy people live?
That's right, where the pretty flashy people holding hands.
It's the flashy box.
Just like the monk box.
Shiny, flashy people holding hands. And she comes down with a number of bags and five of these creatures with spears, and they have a number of weapons hanging from belts and have a look to them that they are the fighter class.
All right.
Everyone eats the green flesh until they feel better?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Okay. She says,
these are the Gehiro. They will assist you to kill the Barbasuda. They will keep you safe. I will go with you to help with the thinking part.
Okay, forgive me. I'm a little confused. Can you just say everyone's name one more time?
Wait a minute. I'm holding onto my crystal really tight. And my knife.
The names are Gehiro, Samsada.
Oh no, I was just being sarcastic.
Oh, you don't actually want to know. Okay, gotcha.
I couldn't care less. You just put all that work into those silly names, so I wanted to hear it again.
L, fuck you.
Hello, fuck you.
I'll fuck off, oh.
I like the Barbasuta, though. That one is, I think, is quite clever.
So she opens up one of the bags and dips her hand in and pulls out this black slime and starts smearing it all over the five guards with spears and is being very careful to get every little bit covered. So they are all completely black and slimy.
Just how I like them.
Yes, and she puts the bags around her neck. She doesn't have any weapons or anything, and she definitely doesn't look like a fighter. So count her out when it comes to the combat, I bet.
So, like, can they not see or talk or anything anymore?
Oh my god.
They Gehiro cannot make sound. They are the warrior class and do not speak.
Oh, okay. Well,
do you guys have a policy on shoelaces? I was just wondering. Do you use buckles or shoelaces? Or do you go like with a sock or
Yeah.
What is the cultural significance of your footwear?
That's actually a good question. Do you guys have a written language?
Happily, as you take more than 10 steps away from the spiderweb at the base of the mushroom, the El Goog crystal falls silent, and you are no longer able to communicate.
Ha ha! Hooray!
Oh, wait a minute. Brain.
Are they, like, using the spiders to write language?
Why don't you explain it to us, Dagon?
Well, like, maybe they can read the spider stuff.
It's your friend Crystal, who is clearly a person.
My sentient crystal being? Yes.
Your sentient crystal being, yes. But it's not her talking, they're reading the spider webs.
Yeah, maybe. Hmm. I wonder how that works.
So you walk through town, you see a number of these huts, and get to the edge of town where you see vast fields of these glowing mushrooms and many of these creatures tending the mushrooms. Clearly this is a farming society that is growing these mushrooms.
Kind of like ants.
You are walking through fields of glowing mushrooms. No one seems to really acknowledge you, and it suddenly got a lot quieter now that your crystals stopped talking. They are flashing lights at you again for some reason, but who knows what that's about.
I want to, like, retroactively have a red and a green mushroom in each hand, and every time they flash lights, I go, hi, with my hands.
Hi.
This mushroom sad. This mushroom happy.
Sad. Happy. Sad. Happy.
Dagon's mushroom puppet show.
Okay, so they've followed that path. You've gone through the field. The town has faded away into the distance. You're still in this giant cavern. You don't really see the ceiling nor the walls. It's all just mushroom and mushroom light. The creature that spoke, whatever her name was, puts a hand out and motions in the universal slow down and be quiet.
Oh, okay.
Don't make Kaylee roll for be quiet.
Yeah.
The blackened guards grip their spears a little tighter, and there's a tension that you can read in their body language. What do you do?
Okay.
I'm totally ready to roll. Let's go.
You know what? I'm going to be smart and look through the spanner ahead of us.
Ooh.
Holy shit. You actually remembered that you had a spanner and actually know what to do with it.
Ha ha!
Fantastic.
Team player.
All right. What color are you looking through?
We'll start with the predator vision.
You see a glow of red in the distance. Nothing specific like footprints or outlines of bodies, but there is a heat in that area.
Is it just like darkness ahead or?
Without the spanner, it looks just like darkness. I mean, there are mushrooms, but they don't fill the room full of light, so you can see those. But with the spanner, you can see sort of like looking at a city from a distance, that overall glow of light has that same
right.
ambiance of
heat beyonce.
Heat beyonce.
All right. Well, Dwork, I think you should charge.
I'm going to stealth up with Kaylee, and you guys should maybe wait or something.
Okay, super.
Is now when you do color spray? I'm confused. Also, before the dwarf stealths up, is there any chance he's still glowing pink?
There is 100% chance he's still glowing pink.
Wait, I'm still glowing pink?
Yeah. Sorry.
What the shit?
You tried to steal from me. This is your penance.
Yeah, Skankra's powers know no limits, so that's a good point. You are glowing pink. Stealthing is going to be a bit of an issue.
Can I, like, you know, put clothes on or something?
No, they all disintegrated. You are like glowing pink and freeballing it right now.
Ooh. However, Dagon, you feel something cold splatter on your back.
Ah.
And you spin around, and that creature that sprays lights at you is rubbing the black slime over your body.
Oh, yes.
And as she's smearing it on,
this is so romantic.
Your pinkness begins to dim and fade.
Oh, hooray. I point to like another spot on my belly button or something.
When a dwarf loves a weird light creature.
Fantastic. Mm. And hold on, Dagon, I'm going to text you something.
Hey!
I know secrets!
I don't know when it became okay to send secret little texts back and forth between the two of you that I don't know about. Who made that okay?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I don't know who blazed that trail.
Yeah.
Terrible precedent.
Hello, dear listener. The secret is that not only does this black slime help to cover up Dagon's glowing pink shame, but it also awards a +2 to his armor class. This should serve as a reminder that when you find some unknown goop in a blackened jar in the attic or a puddle of something mysteriously horrible, the correct reaction is to immediately spread it all over your body. Every medical expert in the world acknowledges this as a fact. Slime. It is always the right move. Okay, so you're no longer glowing bright, hot pink. You are pretty subdued. Black and slimy, a little bit glossy.
That's all right.
So, let's be quiet. And I'm super good at this, and I only have like a 50% ratio of horribly wounding myself while trying to be quiet.
Yeah, okay. I can help.
You know what? This is the first time I just got like a medium roll.
Weird.
All right.
Like, not too bad and not perfect.
That's not how we do things here.
I got a medium-ish roll. I got a 16.
Oh, 16's great. I got a 23.
Wow. Holy shit.
So I told you I'm really good at this. That's why it's been so crazy that it always goes badly.
Yeah.
So you guys sneak off and go ahead and roll perception.
12.
Oh, now we're getting back to normal.
13.
You're not there.
I'm there. I followed.
No, you're not.
Okay. Dagon, are you going side by side with Kaylee, or are you splitting up to cover more ground in the classic Scooby-Doo, or positionally, what are you doing?
I feel like we'd be kind of still within eye range, like 30, 40 feet apart.
Okay. So you are both incredibly surprised as you stumble upon a dwarf in a black cloak who is very surprised as he stumbles upon you. So everybody has launched a surprise round on themselves. So think about what you want to do when it's your turn to do something.
Okay.
And let's roll initiative.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
15.
God damn it. 10.
Everyone rolled really well except for Dagon.
Ha ha.
Poor Dagon.
No.
So the dwarf pulls an axe out from under his cloak and lunges at Kaylee. and hits her with the axe.
Oh, bastard.
Uh-oh. For 3 points of damage. So, wow, that could have been a lot worth. Whew. Now it is Runnus, who's way back with Skankra.
Is everything going well over there?
I'm sure it's doing great.
Oh, Skankra, are you watching this through the spanner?
Yeah, of course.
For entertainment purposes?
Yeah, you know.
Oh, we need help!
Are you telling Runnus about this, or is it entertainment purposes?
Well, something is happening. You should probably go knock somebody in the head.
All right. Time for head knocking.
So he comes charging with no attempt to be quiet, obviously. Clank, 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 clank. So he's on his way. Kaylee takes out her two shiny special fancy daggers and slashes him twice. Two medium level slashes, nothing crazy fancy. Slash, slash. Looked like that hurt.
Okay. I am going to cast Disguise Self.
Ooh.
And take the form of the racist dwarf.
Interesting.
So how does that spell work? Is there a skill component as to how well you can look like it, or how's that work?
I'm just awesome. Duration is an hour. It does not look like there's a roll. Discern that you disguise a creature can use its action to inspect your appearance and must succeed an intelligence check against your spell save DC.
Okay, so intelligence versus...
Yeah, if they're, like, inspecting me.
Okay. That's interesting. So you wave your hands and sparkle magic... And suddenly standing there is the wizened, blind, horrible, racist dwarf with the white eye on his cloak.
It's been him all along!
Ha ha!
That's how he got my crystal!
Make America great again!
Skanky was telling... Wait, but Skanky is him! Oh, shit!
Those children in cages brought it upon themselves! They shouldn't have been breaking the law!
Oh, that makes Dagon sad. If you're facing death by dragon breath, it's a gamble for your life. You'll need a saving throw, saving throw, saving throw. You'll need a saving throw.
You will not believe what my cab driver just said.
Translating job, but her love life's a mess and her roommate's a slob. Crystal says things that are bound to offend, but if you need to speak French, you'll be glad she's a friend. She's Crystal the sentient Crystal. She won't leave you alone. Crystal the sentient Crystal. She speaks in monotone. Crystal the sentient Crystal.
Crystal is recorded in front of a live studio audience.
I should have showered before work. Now I think that dwerk is in love with me.
You're listening to Wisdom of One. Two of the guard creatures run towards Kaylee and Runnus and pass by Runnus but haven't reached you quite yet, so they'll definitely be there next round. Back to the top.
You mean Dagon?
Oh, right, Dagon. Did you want to do something?
Yes! I want to do a thing.
Yes, your turn.
I want to have so many questions I want to ask of people who can't answer it.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to, like, charge over there and stab a dude in his back.
Okay.
With a stabby knife. Jesus, what is that, 24?
Oh yeah, that hits.
Aha!
For 7 magic knife damage
okay.
in his back.
Ouch.
And then I'm gonna use my unarmored attack with the cold ring of Fist of Fury.
So do a wisdom save in terms of controlling it.
Okay, so wisdom save is, 11?
So you feel the cold build up, but it doesn't feel like it has any power, so it'll just be a normal attack.
No! All right, so then regular melee attack. Fuck! I miss, I think. A 9. Damn it!
He ducks behind it.
I got so confused with the ring, it's like it didn't work, and then I just missed.
You really spent a lot of time staring at your fist there and grinning before swinging. It wasn't impressive at all.
I know. Just wait.
His turn. He drops his axe and pulls out a horn
oh.
and puts it to his lips.
Balls.
So everyone gets an attack of opportunity because I don't care about rules, and also that would make sense.
Can I, like, use my attack to just grapple him?
Sure.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. 20.
You grab his wrist with the horn, and you pull it away from his mouth. Now we'll do opposing strength checks.
All right.
Ooh.
Ooh! Boom! I win.
Well, I don't know. What'd you get?
Crit success.
Okay, you won.
Book of Random in the positive.
I think the Book of Random should be Book of Random in the random. Good or bad.
Well, it sort of is.
It's kind of true.
So, not too exciting, but useful. You rip the horn out of his hand, and the power of your rip has sent him face first into the dirt, so he is now prone.
Hooray!
Whoa, and Kaylee stabs him in the back of the neck, and he is done.
Wow, that's ruthless.
Oh, I don't fuck around, boys.
So yeah, he's done. Runnus and the two guards get there right as the action is done.
Hey, well, I got this cool horn. Should I give it a try?
I'm an NPC. Don't feel confident having an opinion on that.
Okay, guys, here's what we're gonna do. As you can see, I'm looking good. You're all gonna be my prisoners, and we're gonna walk right in the front door.
Dagon, the blind, horrible, racist dwarf, has just walked up and is talking to you.
Ah! You guys! He's right here!
Excuse me, assistant? Assistant, it's still me. Does anybody have any small mushrooms I can mime this out with?
Dagon, go ahead and do an intelligence saving throw.
Ah, crap, I'm dead.
Yeah, that's right. But you have advantage.
Okay. Okay. 7.
I am dead.
All right, so the racist dwarf is standing right there in front of you. And he's talking to you with Skankra's voice. But clearly, he was a high-level magic user. Stealing someone's voice is really not too big of a stretch for him. So there he is.
I'm pretty sure the racist dwarf has been here all along. I mean, he had my crystal, and, you know, Skankra said he stole the crystal, but really it was Skankra, so it must be him.
I mean, to be fair, the racist dwarf did take your crystal, but I'm actually Skankra. I was the one who got it back for you.
No, I'm pretty sure, like, there's only one way this makes sense, is that you've been the racist dwarf the whole frickin' time.
Oh, no.
Run has got a 9.
Oh, no!
With advantage. Pretty sure it's him.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like this is problem solved. I mean, I'm just gonna kill him.
Oh, shit.
Kaylee!
Wait a minute, he's acting like Skankra. Remember when the blind, horrible dwarf, he immediately hit us with acid and all these other things that hurt a lot? He didn't try to fool us, right?
And I'm an asshole in a comedic way.
Yeah, but I didn't see Skanky when I was getting hit with acid.
Okay, idiot boy, just ask me something that only Skankra would know and the racist dwarf wouldn't know.
What? What if you were the racist dwarf this whole time, like, from the day I met you?
Okay, Skankra, if you are Skankra, what kind of box did Dagon grow up in?
Oh, he grew up in probably the world's least effective monk box. Whatever the dollar store version of a monk box is. Like, if it were a restaurant, it'd be White Castle or maybe Arby's.
Yes, I think it's Skankra, guys. Mm. I did roll above 13, and everything else kind of lines up.
I trust Kaylee, but...
Oh, and if you'll look, that creature that's flashing lights at us is waving her arms around, desperately trying to tell us not to kill him, so...
The only intelligent creature here other than me.
You mean my flashy girlfriend, who's now my girlfriend now, I guess?
Is he Canadian?
Wait, was that what you guys were texting about? Was Dagon making a move on her and didn't want me to find out?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Dagon's now an obsessed stalker.
Great.
I kind of believe the flashy lady and also Kaylee, so...
So everyone's kind of gathered around poking at the corpse. One of the guard creatures pulls out the dagger and another guard takes the axe.
Okay.
They seem to be rather impressed with non-stone type weaponry.
Does he have anything interesting on him that could tell us information?
Or treasure that I can search for carefully?
Maybe, Runnus, you could like put on his armor or something over your armor so they could be disguised.
Dwarf, there's far too many of you to pretend that you're dwarves. Also, Kaylee is not a dwarf. I say I take you guys as prisoners, and we send the flashy guys behind us sneaking around the sides. And see if we can just bluff our way right in the door.
That's a good idea. Good old-fashioned Star Wars tactic.
Yeah!
Runnus grabs the cloak and puts it up over his head, hides the fact that he doesn't have a beard.
Sans Barbasuta.
That's right.
Great, well, then let's go forward. I should take the lead, obviously, because I'm the pretty one.
Okay. I don't know if this is a great idea.
I don't know if that's a great idea. That's the understatement of the century.
Yes. That could have been said for literally everything we've done so far.
What happens when we come across the real racist dwarf?
Then we kill him.
Right.
Yeah.
Or we just convince him he's in front of a mirror. I just act out whatever he does.
Yeah, because obviously he'd be able to see his own reflection.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, then I'll just, whatever noise he makes, I'll make it slightly after.
Ah, the audio mirror. Yes.
I'll be like an echo.
Okay, so you guys lurch forward, dejectedly trudging as captured prisoners, and you come into an opening where a couple of the giant mushrooms have been chopped down.
No.
He's not the Lorax, he's the Dwarkax.
Who speaks for the mushrooms.
Oh, Mushroom Gully.
There's a roughly created hut, and right next to it is a bit of machinery. You can see pulleys and gears and bits of chain. There are two cloaked fighter guard types, similar to the types that you fought in the hallway, in the back shaft.
Back shaft!
And you see some light coming out of the hut, so you're not quite sure who might be from there. As you march out into the open, one of the guards runs up to you and starts talking to you in that gravelly language that you heard in episode one.
You mean dwarvish?
Speak in common tongue. Otherwise, these idiots won't know what you're saying.
Go ahead and roll a performance.
Animal handling? Yeah, performance.
Or deception? Performance or deception?
20. Not natural, but 20.
Sweet.
Okay, sorry, sir.
Insolent fool!
Your voice sounds funny. Are you feeling okay?
I have a cold.
Didn't you just go down the shaft, like, 30 minutes ago?
Is it your job to ask questions or do what I say?
Oh, wait a minute. I'm bad with time, sir. It was about 8 hours ago because I believe the main character slept for an entire sleep cycle while you were still running. So...
I'm being pursued by the laziest people ever.
So, prisoners?
Yes, yes. Take them back and behead them.
I mean, tie them up, put them away.
Arnthrawn forever.
Arnthrawn forever.
Okay. So he grabs Kaylee and starts pulling her towards the mechanism that is in the center of the clearing.
What's in the fucking hut?
Yeah, you can see that there are three more figures around a campfire, drinking and doing around the campfire things, telling ghost stories, scaring each other, daring each other to call that girl that they've really been thinking about but haven't had the guts to contact yet.
Yeah.
All right, so while they're being led off, I want to investigate the machine.
Where are we being led off to? To the machine?
Towards the machine, yep.
Okay.
I seem to recall you told the guard creatures to hang back.
Yes.
I'm just going to pretend that they figured that out on their own since you can't actually communicate with them anymore.
My nonverbal communication makes more sense.
But it's better with mushrooms.
This is the mushroom of you hanging back. So they're hanging off into the shadows. So go ahead and roll an investigation.
Great.
Skankrod, to check out the machinery.
Fucking hell. 9.
It's a machine. It looks like it sends a large box that people go in. The pulleys clearly lift the box up and lower it down, and there's a lot of chain.
Oh, awesome.
So it looks like it would go down a very far distance.
Oh, sweet. Let's get in the box. Let's do this.
But how to make it go? No idea.
That's what the servants are for.
Yeah.
Put them in the machine. We're going down.
What you do is yell at it until it moves.
So wait, how many dwarves are there? Just the two guards, right? Plus the three in the hut?
Five evil dwarves.
Do the three in the shack know that we're here?
Yes, they are beginning to react and come out, and you hear something like,
"Sir, what's going on?"
Can I, like, plan a sneak attack on the guard that's closest to me? I want to surprise him with my knife in his neck.
I'm sure that would surprise him. Do you have sneak attack as a special ability, or are we just a sneaky attack?
No, I just want to attack him without him paying attention.
You! Come here! Look at me!
I want to, like, get his attention and have him looking straight at me.
And the minute he's looking at him, I'm going to plunge my knife into his...
Sir, you said we should never speak, but an ancient dwarf... Ow, my neck!
Yes, precisely.
So go ahead and roll your attack.
Yeah. 21 to hit.
Hits, for sure.
And then... Ooh, 9 damage.
Ouch.
And then I'm going to follow that up with the cold fist of fury.
Okay, wisdom save.
Wisdom save is... Shit.
Oh, wisdom save with advantage, though.
Oh, less funny, but definitely better. 15?
Cool, yep. So it powers up, makes a freezing cold energy around your fist. So go ahead and roll your attack.
God damn it. 8.
Whoa, that's a really cold fist you have there. Why's my neck hurt?
Yeah.
So, nope, you miss. He twists as he's being stabbed and dodges your fist of freeze.
No.
I guess let's all roll initiative, since that's not how prisoners typically act.
Yeah.
We've initiated.
Oh, for fuck's sake. 7.
16.
We have a lot of characters now.
Yeah.
Does anyone need a zone of truth?
But he pulls his glowing blue hammer out from his belt and swings it at the guard that is next to him. Definitely hits him.
Oh, yeah. And Dagon's waving the red mushroom around. Really high in the air. Red mushroom! Red mushroom! Probably saying red mushroom out loud also.
That would make sense.
And sends the dwarf stumbling backwards with a mighty blow. Bang! So, Skankra, you're up.
Okay, I'm going to cast sleep into the hut. Creatures within 20 feet of a point of my choosing, i.e. the hut.
Okay.
So it is 5d8, and it's just sort of like ascending levels of hit points or whatever.
Figure out how many points you have to work with.
All right. 22.
22.
Will that knock out even one of them? Come on!
Well, I'd feel slightly sleepy, but I could wait till after this battle before I take a nap.
God damn it!
Yeah.
They come charging out, sorry.
You should cast sleep at a higher level.
That's right.
Well, for some reason, I think probably comedic, I've been stuck at level 1 for like 6 months.
We're level 2.
Level 2, whatever.
That's double what you started off as. Okay, Kaylee steps behind the guard that Dagon attacked and gets him twice with her daggers, gets a surprise attack in, and he is done.
Yeah!
There you go.
Falls to the ground. The other dwarf that is outside of the hut pulls out a giant axe. He comes at Dagon. Dagon, will a 14 hit you?
Nope.
Cool. And then I assume a 12 doesn't hit you.
Also nope.
So swish, swish, or clang, clang off your body, however it works.
Yeah, I just dodged the fuck out the way, because I'm a monk. Ooh, yeah.
Because I'm a monk.
I'm a monk. Hard to hit.
Runnus deflects a throwing axe off of his shield. Clang. And then the other two charge out of the hut. One comes at Skankra, and one comes at Kaylee.
Me?
Oh.
That one was on Kaylee. I mean...
So Kaylee gets hit with a very hard blow. She...
Haha, take that, Kaylee.
Falls flat on her back and turns it into a somersaulting roll and gets back up to her knee position. So she's not prone, but she took a really hard hit.
Oh, Kaylee, are you okay?
The other dwarf that was charging Skankra stops in his tracks and looks really startled and confused.
Drop your weapons!
Yeah, he drops his weapon. Clang on the ground. Dagan, your turn.
Dagan rushes over to the dwarf that hit Kaylee and does the whole stab and then punch deal.
Stab and punch, punch and stab.
Damn it. Why do I suck at rolling? 13 is going to miss, I'm assuming.
Yep. And that was the knife attack that missed?
Yeah, that was the knife attack. Okay. So, 12?
No, not yet. Not till you learn it better.
No. All right, so then just a regular stupid punch. Holy crap. 13 probably also misses. Wow.
Yep.
Swish, swish.
I'm helping.
If you were a better monk, maybe.
Then five spears come flying in from the darkness. The dwarf who dropped his axe catches a spear in the stomach area. Gross. He's still up, but he is in a lot of pain. The one Dagan that you were fighting catches one just underneath the chin and drops down dead.
Ooh, nice.
And you hear in the background, oh, they can't make noise, but you hear one of them going,
celebrate.
Dagan flashes the green mushroom. Green.
Okay. All right. Back to the top. Runnus spins with his glowing maul. Whoa. Okay.
Oh, book of random.
So Runnus swings, hits one of the unwounded ones who was just standing there watching as everyone's fighting, going like,
why are we fighting the master? He told us to bring him and now we're fighting. This is confusing.
And he is immediately turned into water vapor by this hammer. That was triple damage and not even close to survivable.
Ooh,
nice.
Awesome.
So now there's one guy in the shed who's still feeling a little sleepy.
Aha!
And one guy standing there wounded in the stomach.
Dagan, like, waves the green mushroom at Runnus. Green mushroom!
Skankrai, your turn.
Protect me, you fools!
I'm talking to the dwarves.
Okay. The wounded one comes lurching towards you and stands between you and Dagan. The one in the shed area is a little brighter and is still scratching his head trying to figure out what's going on.
Quick, pass me your money! What is your pin? Give me the last four digits of your social security number!
Kaylee disappears and reappears, hits once with her dagger. Definitely hurts the wounded guy, but he's still standing somehow. Okay, so the guy with his back to Skankra swings his axe at Dagan. Will a 16 hit you?
Nope.
Whoa. Okay. The axe slams into your chest, but deflects away, causing no damage whatsoever.
Dagan even is a little bit confused.
There's a shock.
And then the one in the shed, oh, interesting choice, jumps into the box and pulls a lever, and the box starts sinking fairly rapidly. You go,
oh, shit.
As it's disappearing down into the shaft.
Runnus, stop the box.
Okay, Dagan, your turn.
Shit.
Is there a lever or a way to control the contraption from the top side?
If you had done a better investigation initially, you might know the answer, but it's a mystery at the moment.
Silence, fool! It's not my job to know things, it's to tell you what to do! I provide direction, not step-by-step instructions. I'm a big picture thinker.
All right, so Dagan's gonna run towards the box device. There must be some kind of pulley that the chain is going over.
Yes.
Dagan tries to whip his nunchuck through the pulley.
Ooh.
Hold on to it really
okay.
hard.
What would that be? That would...
I have no idea. Attack?
Yeah.
Just stick your finger in.
Yeah, stick your finger in the pulley. Yeah, go ahead and do an attack. Obviously no damage, but how well that does will determine whether it stops the pulley or not.
All right. Be competent. Oh my god! It's the opposite of confidence.
Oh no. There's a horrible crunching sound and your nunchucks are destroyed.
Oh.
Wooden fibers floating in the air.
Damn it!
So the box is about 10 feet below you now.
Just jump into the box.
It's like an elevator, essentially, where the opening is on the side, and over the dwarf's head is a solid piece of wood. So you could jump down on the top if you dropped down.
It's a dwarf in a box!
You'll have to do that next round. You spent this round destroying your weapon.
Yeah, sorry. All right.
The silent warriors are coming out of the darkness, and they have surrounded the horribly wounded dwarf, and they're pointing spears at him and looking rather menacing. Runnus?
So we're trying to stop this elevator? Is that what we're doing?
Yes, you fool!
I'm not 100% comfortable with how you're talking right now, but I'll go with it. So why don't we just hit the stop button that's right here?
And he pulls a lever and the elevator stops just dead.
This is fairly common dwarven machinery, so that's how you stop it.
Oh.
And you can make it go by hitting this lever.
Yeah. Can we just bring it back up or something? Or
why don't you just put more of your possessions in it?
Yep. This is the reverse.
Clank. And it goes tick, 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 tick. It's pulling back up. You hear the dwarf in the elevator screaming.
No! No!
So the wounded dwarf makes a break for it, but doesn't make it. The warriors stab him a bunch of times and he goes down.
All right, I steal everything from the bodies.
The elevator comes up to the top and stops, and now you have a cowering dwarf in a black cloak with five silent warriors, Dagon, Runnis, Kaylee, and then his master, who's apparently yelling at everyone and pointing fingers and being ignored.
So I say this in Dwarvish. Well, you pretty much got one option to stay alive, and that is tell us everything you know about what's down there and what we can expect when we go down.
Okay, roll intimidation. Skankra, roll perception, I guess, for searching all the bodies without people knowing.
Yeah.
Maybe sleight of hand, maybe?
Fucking charisma-based. God damn it.
Ah, ha, ha.
Ugly should be able to intimidate, damn it.
12.
Although, to intimidate, you have to have some sort of gravitas. You don't have to be pretty, but you have to have, like, a presence. So, I guess you're just kind of bland.
The guy with mushroom finger puppets doesn't tend to be super intimidating.
Purple mushroom says be afraid.
Where's my friends?
Be afraid.
Yeah, so with a -2, ends up being a 12.
No, he gives you the dwarven beard pull, which is dwarven equivalent of the middle finger.
Yeah, I won't give anything to Umori scum like you.
Hey, Runnis?
Yeah?
Why don't you spin up that zone of truth again?
All right, let's do it.
Or we could just skin him and then put his skin on Kaylee and have two guards.
super growth.
I wasn't going to say I was going to do it. I was telling you guys to do it.
So, yeah, Runnis activates his zone of truth.
Ooh,
okay. And right as you are getting ready to ask questions, the dwarf steps off the edge and drops down into the shaft below.
Well, during all that drama, I searched the hut.
Okay, Skankra, you don't find a lot of fancy possessions, but you find a lot of guardy type stuff, a number of silver pieces, no gold, and
a magic helmet that allows me to fly?
Nope. There are candles.
Could have sworn there was one.
Dwarven pornography, which involves a lot of hairy ladies with beards of shorter length than average. But nothing that's incredibly interesting. Although dwarven pornography, the more I think about it, the more that'd be a riveting read.
I'll keep it. If I need some more time to meditate.
There's reasonable, well-made weapons, and all of the silent warriors are now arming themselves with metal weapons instead of stone weapons.
Well, seems like we got maybe two options here. We either go down, or we smash the elevator.
Let's go down, kids. Let's go down.
Okay.
Ah, ha, ha. Now give me that ring.
Yeah, besides, we have to go down there and save our friend, remember? Whatever his name was?
Oh, yeah, Thungren.
Yeah, Thungren.
Oh, yeah, who?
If we were to destroy the elevator, he'd be down there forever.
Oh.
I mean, did we really miss Thungren?
Dagon starts sniffing around. Is that musk?
You stole the diamond from a concubine of a wizard who could read your mind. You got nowhere to hide, nowhere to run. You stole the gold from the dwarven graves, then got yourself lost in the caves. You got nowhere to hide, nowhere to run.
I have an idea. Zone of truth.
And he waves his hands.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So, Skankra, while you are within 50 feet of this area, you have to do a wisdom save in order to say anything other than the truth.
Okay.
And you're going to have to beat a 19.
Okay, here we go. Fuck.
Did you steal this crystal? I want to know. I'm pretty sure you did.
Well, it depends on your definition of steal. Can you be more specific?
Did you take the crystal off of my person and put it into your personal possession?
Is that really stealing, or is it more of a transfer of property?
Did you transfer my property onto your property?
Well, my zone of truth must really be wearing off. I'm out of practice. He seems to be, you know, kind of wiggling around on the hook instead of answering questions.
Answer before I punch you in the face with cauldron. Did you steal this?
I'm sorry, what was the question again?
Did you take my crystal, goddammit?
Why do you ask? It seems like the crystal's very important to you. Can you tell us more about that?
Okay, so, yeah, it's him. Let's go.
Fucker. I know you did it.
Is knowing important to you?
Okay.
Thanks for listening to Wisdom of One. If you enjoyed our particular brand of nonsense, please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcasting service. We can be found online at wisdomofonepodcast.com and on Instagram and Facebook at Wisdom of One Podcast. You can email us at info@wisdomofonepodcast.com. Stay tuned for the next thrilling episode in which Dagon and Skankrock get into a petty squabble about nothing, ignore all of Sean's plot points, and most likely wind up dead.